Great. Thank you so much, Kyla. Actually, I wish I could text my wife and daughter right now and let them know. I jumped up on the stage without tripping and falling flat on my face, so it's already a win. I also promised Chuck Ghost that I would share a little bit about myself and about why, instead of like a sane person flying in for customer day on Monday night, I flew in on a 6 a.m. flight out of Boston on Tuesday morning. That's because when Chuck said, well, you should come in, Monday night would be great. I said, 17th, why does that feel, oh, no. So I had Iron Maiden tickets for a sold-out gig at the Worcester Centrum that I absolutely would not give up, because if I listed the four things in life I'm most passionate about, being a dad, being a husband, communicating, and metal. So in that spirit, I am actually going to ask you, all of you, to stand up for a moment. I need your help to show my 18-year-old daughter that I am, in fact, cool. We're also, before we get started, gonna scare the crap out of the people next door, briefly, all right? So we all know how to throw the horns, right? So on three, please give me, throw your horns and give me your best rock and roll. Woo! All right, one, two, three. Woo! All right, thank you. Thank you for humoring me like this. So this is a big medical, or a lot of healthcare folks here, so all of you are used to the fact that at conferences like this, there are certain legal disclosures that need to be given at the beginning of the presentation. So my disclosures. First, I learned storytelling from my grandmother. I tell stories in a way that can be described as charming and delightful and meandering and annoying. But I promise you this, you wanted to know how we went about making a tremendous success out of launching a mobile communications app with, Kyla put it gently, not a lot of leadership support. I'll actually say we had a fair amount of leadership opposition. We said, this is terrible, this is not a good idea. So I promise you, by the time we get to act three in the story, even though we may have taken some side roads, some pit stops, stop for snacks along the way, we will get to where we're going with this. My second disclosure, I am a writer. I'm not a numbers guy. So I'll give you some stats, I'll give you some numbers. There's not gonna be any slides with stats on it, I promise you that. And then the third disclosure, you will never ever see someone from Boston Children's come out and talk to you without telling you a patient family story. So brace yourselves, there will absolutely be some patient family stories, even though this is an internal communication story. So very quickly, a little bit about me. In the theme of a picture being worth a thousand words, this picture honestly tells you almost everything you really need to know about me. I am a husband, I am a dad. This was a Facebook profile post with the layover for us being the number one children's hospital in the U.S. back in 2020. So obviously I'm also a shameless shill for Boston Children's Hospital, whether I'm on the clock or not. If you're paying attention to the t-shirts, I'm a proud rainbow dad. What you may not pick up from this is that I am also, in addition to being a Boston Children's employee, I am a Boston Children's Hospital parent. If there are any parents here with young kids who watch an overabundance of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, there's a phrase you may be used to hearing. I'm a Boston Children's parent. This feels like a tool that's gonna come in handy later. A little bit about Boston Children's. First, fun fact, my favorite picture of Boston Children's, because our facade, it's a little homely, but we light up really well at night. And this is less about what's about the hospital is about, but more about the people who work there. We've got over 14,000 employees across multiple locations, multiple jobs. 4,300 of them are active medical staff of some sort, whether that be physicians, clinical assistants, you know, the whole range. 3,700 of them, nurses, patient care operations staff. For those of you who don't know, patient care operations covers basically anyone that has a touch point with patients, whether it's pharmacy, social work, child life, 3,700 of them. An additional 3,300 researchers and associated staff. I share these numbers with you because From an internal communications perspective, the biggest challenge we have is the fact that 14,000 employees, none of them get their information the same way. So we have, over the years, launched so many different communications vehicles, all of which require some time, effort, to keep them updated, keep them rolling, and none of which are actually getting to everyone. You know, we run into the same problems that everyone gets into, which I will get to, but just a little bit also about Boston Children's. We are a standalone hospital. One of the big questions I've been getting a lot here is, are we part of the MGH system? No, we are standalone. And we operate on a four-part mission. Clinical care, like I said, I think I'm legally obliged to include this in every speech. We were ranked the number one children's hospital in the nation for the 9th year in a row by U.S. News and World Report. We are also home to the largest pediatric research facility on the planet, which means not only are we providing phenomenal care for patients and families now, we are figuring out what that's going to look like in the future. I'm also legally obliged to include the tagline, it makes us the place the world comes for answers. We are also the primary teaching hospital, pediatric teaching hospital, for Harvard Medical School, which sounds very, very impressive, very ostentatious. For an internal communications perspective, it makes things kind of challenging, because what that comes with is what we like to refer to as the Harvard gravitas, which means that if we want to be fun, if we want to be silly, if we want to make fun of ourselves a little, it's not something we do well. And then community. You know, community, we are known, like I say, as the place the world comes for answers. But the flip side of that is we are also the local hospital for the Boston community. This is where your kid breaks your arm, you're going to primary care at Boston Children's. Example of, this is one of the side roads I was talking about, the fact that you can never really win in the world of communications. Back in 2012, we did a survey about how people thought of Boston Children's and realized that no one realized, you know, what a global reach that we had and how we saw patients from all over the world and we were, you know, doing this amazing research. So we did massive campaigns to increase awareness that Boston Children's was really a global hospital. And then, of course, this year, we did another survey that turns out that nobody knew that we were the local children's hospital. So the job was done too well, and now we're kind of backpedaling. So four-part mission, but of course, you all work in communications. You know it's not that simple. Our commitment to equity, diversity, and inclusivity, that's a massive part of what we do, especially since 2020, when a fairly reliable source, namely our employees, told us, you're not as good at equity, diversity, and inclusivity as you think you are. So that became a massive priority for us to actually live up to how good we thought we were. Culture. John Acuff mentioned kindness and the fact that people get kind of like, about kindness. We recently overhauled completely our core values for the hospital and included as one of them kindness. And believe it or not, people get angry. There were people who were pissed that we felt the need to include kindness, which kind of shows that maybe we really did need to include the word kindness in there. So all of this is a big setup for the fact that we have all of these employees and all these different roles and all of these different vehicles and all of these different messages, and we know that so much of it is just not getting through. It's just dying on the vine. We have an intranet, great. Post something there and you get about 100 clicks on something. I'm sorry, that's not true. If it's about free food, through the roof. No bi-directional communication, it's all being pushed out. We're not getting anything back. And again, I'm a metalhead. You know, we wanna hear back from the audience. We want the woo-hoo, and we aren't getting that. So we don't know really how people are feeling about things until we do an employee engagement survey and find out that we're not doing as well as we think. Email. Everybody's got the same thing. We have too much email. We need to to cut down on the number of emails that we have. Wait, but before you do that, can you send this email from the CEO for me about my thing? Because no, we don't want to cut out email if it's about my thing. So the other big piece, you know, we are a hospital. It's a massive variety of roles. A lot of them are not sitting in front of a computer all day, whether that's nursing, whether that's food services, support services, valet. They're just not in front of the computer all day. They're not looking at email all day. They need something that communicates with them where they are. So in 2018, we started making the case for Scope 360. That's our first up platform. A little background on the name. The Scope, short for the microscope, was the name of our very first Boston Children's Hospital newsletter in 1870-something. We've been around for 152 years. Frequently, it feels like our communication tactics have been pretty steady and since they were created 150 years ago. So we knew it was time for a change. And of course, you know, we pushed for this mobile communications app that every employee in every role would be able to have access to. And the support from leadership was absolutely, absolutely fantastic. This is a direct quote from my boss on the day we first pitched this to him. And to be fair, he has come around, and over the last 5 years, there is no greater ambassador for Scope 360 and getting people to post their content than him. But day one was a little rough. We didn't, you know, as John Aik was talking about how your initial reaction to something can kill a great idea right on the vine. That didn't quite do it. However, our chief nursing officer almost killed it. We sat in a meeting with our chief nursing officer, Laura Wood. Again, I'm gonna name them because trust me, they come around. And Marcy Brostoff, who was one of our associate chief nursing officers, and they said, no way, no way. Our nurses won't use this. They will never use this. This is a terrible idea, and part of why we were talking to them to garner support was because we really wanted to use nursing as a test case. We wanted to have nursing be our beta test, and we got a hard no, that nursing wanted nothing to do with this. So we shifted gears, and we went to the other largest group that we knew was not spending their days in front of the computer. We went to support services and worked closely with them. We met, you know, we had staff meetings in the middle of the night because this is a team that works 24/7. So we met with support services at 12 a.m. to pitch them on the app. You know, we got it on all of their phones. By the way, another side note, it was made very clear to us right up front, anything involving putting an app on somebody's phone cannot be mandatory. It absolutely had to be opt-in, so there was no way we could say, sorry, guys, we're doing this one way or the other. It had to be by choice. And support services backed us. We worked with their leaders to create training videos, to boost the enthusiasm around it. We got to a point where before we could even launch, they were 100% ready to go. And, no. There we go. Scope 360 arrived. We had a wonderful campaign based around a Godzilla movie where we had this, you know, animation of the phone coming out of the Charles River, and it was a great launch. It was a solid launch. We launched just in time for our 150th anniversary. So we had, you know, this whole series of videos with, you know, 52 videos with 52 members of the Boston Children's team over the year telling their stories. We had it in time for our first major submit your own content push, which was Red Sox Day for Boston Children's, where we took something like 500 employees to go see the Red Sox. And I have never in my life had to move faster to Photoshop baseballs over beer cans in every picture, including the picture of our chief culture officer and our CEO. We're just like, yeah. So it was absolutely a solid success. Not mind-blowing. You know, we were headed into the end of 2019. We were headed into 2019 with 3,000 employees in the app, 3,000 out of 14. Our goal for the end of the first year, we launched in May, so our goal was that by May 2020, we really got it. Would be nice to have 5,000 people using the app. And we had some real plans for 2020 going into it. First and foremost was we were going to boost visibility for our CEO, our COO, and the leadership team by being together in the room more and being face-to-face and shooting more iPhone video. It's okay, you can laugh. We all know what's coming 3 months into the year. So our goal was to do more and do more with leadership and more with video. And we started out strong with 14 videos in 14 days with 14 different leaders promoting our employee engagement survey. And I'm gonna show you the first video. It features Dick Argus, who is our chief culture officer and also the fairy godfather of Scope 360. He was the one who said, yeah, we need this. We need, at least need to try it. And I will tell you, it was a fairly easy pitch for him to get him to get it in the first place. When we re-upped a year ago, even easier. It was just send me the bill. So this is Dick. And if you see how he is in this, and then we're going to jump to another video with Dick taken just about a month later.
Happy New Year, everybody. It's 2020. Can you believe that? I hear it's the year of the ophthalmologist. Get that? Anyways, believe it or not, it's time for our employee engagement survey. It's been a while, so we're really counting on everybody being a part of this initiative. You know that we've used these data and information that you provided us in the past for some really important things. We changed our parental leave policy and benefit, and we've also done things around flexible work hours, people being able to contemplate working from home if it works for your department, flexible days, all those kinds of things. That all happened from the feedback that you've given us in 2017. So we'll use these data, this information for short-term plans, long-term plans. We want to be competitive. We want to prove to you how much we listen and how much we care about you loving where you work and being engaged at Boston Children's Hospital. So one more time, Happy New Year.
It's slick. It's produced. It's a high def rig that we use for it. He's mic'd so that you can hear him and not, you know, all of the traffic going by. It's also, by the way, pure coincidence that he's standing in front of 360. That was not at all intended. So this is what our plan was for the videos for the year. So what happened? On March 13th, 2020, we went home for the weekend. And we sent an email to the house telling 7,000 people not to come in on Monday, that we were going to be working from home for the foreseeable future. And no. At that time, I think we said, we'll be back by April. We weren't. To put this in perspective, Boston Children's Hospital, one of the busiest hospitals on the planet, that's a Tuesday, 11 a.m. We built that pedestrian bridge because it was so dangerous trying to cross the street in traffic on this particular road. Totally empty. We did things we never thought we would do. We canceled elective procedures. I mean, think about that. We're a children's hospital, and we decided we needed to stop providing care for children unless it was an emergency. We shut down our satellites. So a group of employees who felt disconnected to start with were now even more disconnected than ever. They were now physically disconnected. I want you to watch this video of Dick. What I really want you to pay attention to is the eyes.
Good morning, everyone. It's Dick Argus coming to you from North Dartmouth, Massachusetts, where we have our Boston Children's Hospital North Dartmouth satellite. Wanted to check in and check on folks today, say hello, and see how they're handling these times.
I also want to thank all of you for your flexibility, patience, and understanding during these unprecedented times here at Boston Children's, but also in the country and in the world. Want to let you know that every day for the next couple of weeks at least, we're going to have a broadcast that is being sent out to everyone, letting folks know what's happening at the hospital, what's going on in our satellites, and how we are handling all of the unknowns that will face us each day. We'll try and have a little bit of fun. We'll try and connect folks. We'll have some competitions where we'd love to see some pictures of your dogs and your cats and your work slippers and your views from your windows. But most of all, we want to continue the connection that we have and let people know that we're interested in their lives and how work is being performed wherever you are. Because many people may be out of sight during this time, but nobody is out of mind. Again, thank you for everything. Thank you in advance for the things that you will do. And most of all, please be safe. Be safe for yourself, be safe for your colleagues, be safe for your family, your loved ones, and your friends. Thank you.
It was personal. It was imperfect. And it was actually painful. Dick is heartbroken because all our people are just scattered to the winds at this point. But painful is actually a pretty great thing if you think about the fact that it's synonymous with being authentic. So we decided it was time for us to get personal, get imperfect, and get a little painful, and actually let each other into our lives. Very quickly, this is what our last open meeting, our last town hall session of March looked like. This is what town hall sessions looked like 2 weeks later.
Short version, Parking Services is going to make sure that we share any and all information around this on Boston Children's Today, Scope 360, and the AOD advisories as we get closer to the April 10th deadline.
Yeah. So things I got asked about that. Where did I get the lights? Our AV team is legitimately, we got to the point where a month later, somebody's like, where did you get the lights? And the AV guy jumped up. He got them at Target. I've heard this so much. I had people say, I was so distracted during the meeting because I was worried. I saw your cat perched up in the background. Is your cat? I was like, yeah, the cat's fine. I brought it with me. So, like I say, change, getting personal, getting painful, this is not easy for Boston Children's. We're perfection. Everything needs to, it's got to be polished. So why was this such an easy transition for internal communications? So I did promise a patient family story, and I do have the HIPAA rights to this one. In December 2017, we checked into Boston Children's Hospital, and we did not leave for a week, because after almost a year of trying to get my daughter to gain weight, we realized we couldn't do it alone. We couldn't do it without help. So we checked into Boston Children's Hospital at a point where she was at 75% of her ideal body weight and very close to organs shutting down because she was struggling with adolescent anorexia. The night before we went in, I wrote the hardest email I've ever had to write in my life. I wrote to her principal and her teachers. I said, guys, there's no way you don't see what's going on. We're going into Boston Children's tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen, but we need you to know this. Her principal wrote me back the next morning and said, thank you. I have been a principal in this school system for 10 years. And in that time, I have had, I cannot tell you how many children suffering with eating disorders, and you're the first family to ever ask for help. We learned very quickly that when it comes to anorexia, when it comes to self-harm, any of the behavioral health issues, they thrive on secrecy. So for us to survive, for her to recover, we had to get personal, we had to get painful, and we had to be out there. And we decided that was what we were going to do with internal communications. So we started sharing how imperfect everything was, that we were working from home, that our kids were working from home across from us, that, you know, the dog was laying on the, by the way, fun fact, see the one made of, you know, Giada De Laurentiis cookbooks? You know what you get if you work like that for a year? You get to spend the entire summer of 2021 working with a chiropractor sticking needles into your neck. It was how we celebrated Pride, even though we couldn't be with each other. And yes, by the way, if you're paying attention, that's my daughter raising the Pride and transgender Pride flags in front of the hospital. It was how we reminded each other that life was going on at the hospital. So, hey, Chicago, by the way, you don't have the lock on cold October. And it was, we celebrate the holidays. On far right, that's our CEO, the best dressed man at Boston Children's. And it was how we came together over things that were not happy. This is something we called Boston Children's Kneels Together. This is how we reacted to the death of George Floyd. Fact, you will never ever see that picture again. Because despite the fact that everybody's wearing masks, that picture was in total disregard of our COVID precautions. So we're gonna move on quickly. And it was how we celebrated hope, vaccine. The vaccine was here. This is, hey, yeah, we're excited. And something amazing really happened with us, which was that by May of 2020, we didn't have 5,000 people using the app. We had 10,000 people using the app. And I'm going to jump a bit to the punchline. Nurses will use it. In fact, Marcy Brostoff, who said that they would never use it, was moderating our town halls on a weekly basis, and every week would end with, if you're not on Scope 360 yet, you need to be on Scope 360. And every time, we had, out of 1,100 nurses, 950 of them registered and using the app on a regular basis. When we looked at our stats on our most engaged employees, Laura Wood, our chief nursing officer, top five. Every week, because she knew her people were on there. She knew they cared about it. So she was on there caring about what they cared about. I'm gonna jump through this
Hi,
video.
I'm Greg Durkin.
This
I'm the
is
Director
nursing
of Education Informatics.
Asking
sure
us
we have a lot
for their own channel.
Activities showing up for you.
How's it going, everybody? It's Dennis, and welcome to Scope 360. Looking forward to bringing you lots of great content from nursing, patient care operations.
And they did. I wish I could show you the rest of the video. We're running short on time. But they did. They brought us, in the first year, 323 posts. They have a team of five committed to keeping the content rolling. And my God, came to me with not just a 30, 60, 90 for why their channel should exist, a six-month plan. It was beautiful. And it has continued to be one of our most successful channels. And again, nursing leadership, adamantly against it, to ambassadors for the platform and pushing for it. What's next? I can move through it very quickly. We all know nothing continues to be a success unless you keep pushing it. Just have to keep pushing it. And for us, we found that the secret sauce was caring about what our people care about. We can't ask them to submit things if it's going to be fluffy. So we did questions like, 2 years later, March 2022, where were you 2 years ago? What was it like for you? We've had people who graduated college on Zoom. Upper right, that's Jen Mani, our director of the Ombuds Office, celebrating her wedding anniversary. Her husband was in New Zealand when the pandemic hit. They didn't see each other for 2 years. And then we get shameless. This past month, we launched what was our most popular, most successful launch of a channel yet, Boston Children's Loves Our Pets. That is Bucky Barnes. He is one of my two dogs. And if you want to get extra shameless, he's got three legs. So it was like, all right, we're going to launch this with a three-legged dog. The response, great. So what comes next? What do? We continue to be personal. We continue to be imperfect. We can be silly, and we just be authentic. We bring our authentic selves. And the very last thing I will say, in the words of Patty Hickey, who is another of our associate chief nursing officers and the head of our cardiac program, Zara loves Zooms. What does that mean? It means that when we launched our dog channel, within 5 minutes of turning the channel on, one of our associate chief nursing officers had already posted the picture of her dog. So, success. Thank you. I know we're out of time for questions, but I am happy to hang out here if anybody wants. You know, I'll be honest, if anybody wants to talk about communications, if anyone wants to talk eating disorder recovery, these are my specialties. So thank you all.
Round of applause for Steve.